So welcome back to the show, guys. This is the Michael Ellis Show, and today we've got Philip. Philip is a business consultant and mindset coach, I believe. I always get this mixed up. But his real passion is helping you guys find your purpose in life. So how are you today, Philip?
I'm doing fantastic, Michael. Thanks for inviting me on the show. It's great to be here.
For the second time.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, technically, yeah.
Hopefully, there's fingers crossed for a good internet connection.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, just for the guys at home and anybody watching or listening, just let us know a little bit about yourself and your journey to where you are now.
Yeah, thank you. So I was born in Texas in the USA, and everything's bigger in Texas, including egos. So it's been a lifelong learning lesson that I'm not the biggest thing since sliced bread, but I do think I can help some people. And so I've done sales training. I got hired by a guy who's a millionaire, and he taught me all he knew about sales. We taught workshops. I've done online marketing, helping people grow their business through better websites, better marketing campaigns. I was a pastor for several years. Had a chance to connect with people spiritually. I was a counselor. I've worked at a newspaper. I've worked at Walmart selling drugs, in the pharmacy as a cashier. Just want to be clear. And so I've done a lot of things throughout the years, but what I've figured out is that the thread that connects most of those, not the Walmart thing, the thread that connects most of those is I really love connecting with people and helping them learn ideas and apply principles to get happier, healthier, and wealthier in their life, work, and relationships. Those are the things that matter to me. And so a couple of years ago, I realized that online coaching and courses and then mentoring and then consulting with businesses, these were all things that could work together really well to help people get amazing results in their life, in their work, in their relationships. So I started doing that and taking all that, it's about 20 years worth of experience, and putting it together in a couple of specific programs that I help people with. And it's been a wonderful journey along the way.
Great, that's amazing. So you said like you used to be a pastor. So what was that like? What take on the world did it give you that's different from people that haven't gone that route?
Sure. You know, Michael, that's a really great question. And I think a couple of things that really stand out to me that were so helpful and formative in my journey as a pastor was number one, realizing that there are no perfect people. Because as a pastor, I got a chance to see behind the curtain. You know, if you think about if all of life is a stage, as William Shakespeare said, well, there's a lot that goes on behind the curtain that most people don't see. And as a pastor, I was someone that people would come to and share those things with and look for help with those things, whether it was marriages that look great on the front end, but were disintegrating behind the scenes. Whether it was people that looked like they had it all together on the stage, but in the back of their own mind, they were totally insecure and didn't know what they were going to do with their life. Whether it was businesses that were presenting a good front, but were on the verge of collapse. I got a chance to see the backside of all those things and realize that nobody's perfect. So why try? And it was so freeing for me. To not have to pretend like I'm perfect and I have all the answers because I saw that nobody does. God does, but together we can make it a little better. So that's the first thing. There are no perfect people. The second thing was everyone's looking for hope. And I got a chance to be a part of something that offered hope to so many people. And obviously, there's all kinds of different views and religions and things on that. And certainly a fascinating topic I could explore sometime if you want to. But bottom line, almost all of us really are looking for hope. And I realized that whether it was ministry in that season or whether it's coaching and consulting now, if I can offer something to someone that gives them hope for a better tomorrow and help to get there, I can feel like I've actually done my part in this world. And that was a huge blessing to learn.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So, is it hope or happiness that people are searching? And what's the difference?
That's a great question, too. I think it's really both. So if we think about happiness this way, happiness is a pleasant feeling based on current circumstances. That's typically how you would think of it if you talk to psychologists and talk to theologians and all that. Happiness is that current feeling. I can get happiness from the coffee that's sitting right there on my desk, from the M&Ms in my closet. You can tell I like to eat stuff, from a beautiful sunset. But the problem with happiness is that everybody wants it, but it's easy to slip away. And in fact, it always slips away. That's kind of the story of life. I think we could all agree, right? It's a chasing of happiness, but it's like taking your hands and scooping water out of a sink or a swimming pool. You can hold it for a while, but not forever. It always drains. Hope is a confident expectation of good to come. And hope is something that I've discovered in my life, in the lives of people I've worked with as clients, in the lives of people I got to serve through my church. Hope is something that if you have a concrete sense of hope, then the happiness may come and go, but you're going to be okay because you know that more is coming. You believe that more is coming. And I like to say this, that hope without an anchor is just wishful thinking. And a lot of people say they're hopeful. So for instance, I'm hopeful 2021 is going to be, I have hope 2021 is going to be better than 2020. My question is, that's great. What are you anchoring that hope in? Like, give me some specifics. There's nothing wrong with wishful thinking, but that won't sustain you. But when you have an anchor for your hope, something solid that you're placing it in, that gives you the strength to endure when happiness leaves and keep persevering until it comes again.
Awesome. So how does that world that you've been part of tie into the world that you are in now? How does it both tie into together?
Sure. One of the biggest ways is the skill set is very similar. So as a pastor, a preacher, a minister, there's you know, three big things that you need to do well if you're going to succeed. You need to be able to speak well to some degree. Otherwise, no one's going to listen to you. You need to be able to listen well. Otherwise, no one's going to believe you care. And I would argue if you don't want to listen, then you don't really care. So you need to speak well. You need to listen well. And number three, you need to be able to package things well, because it's all about, you know, an hour, hour and a half, whatever, depending on your particular tradition. You got a finite amount of time to communicate something meaningful in a way that helps people take action. And so what I found out was that those same skills of being able to speak well, being able to listen well, and being able to package things well, I was super blessed to have had a lot of experience in that in ministry. And I was able to take that and then incorporate all the things I learned from the mentor who was a millionaire and about sales, all the things I learned from online marketing, all the things I learned from working in media at the newspaper organization. I was able to take that and then put that through the filter of speaking, listening, and packaging. And it's been really, it's been a lot of fun. I really enjoy it.
Oh.
So I don't know if that answers your question or not.
It certainly.
I've had to learn the discipline of giving shorter answers and not just going on forever. looks like we may be having some internet difficulties, which does happen. But apparently, oh, and we're back. Woohoo!
Yeah, so when I pressed to unmute my mic, then it just completely froze. Not to do with the internet connection, it was a software malfunction this time.
Good deal.
So yeah, that's great. I heard everything, by the way, so I didn't miss anything. So finding your purpose, what does finding your purpose?
I'm so sorry, I caught the first part.
How do you help people find their purpose in life?
Sure, thanks. There's really helping people find purpose is a tricky thing in some ways, because all of us are unique. And I am not someone who believes that we need to force people into a template and everyone's the same. Every story is different. Every background is different. But I have discovered that there are some specific general principles that do seem to apply to everybody when it comes to finding a purpose that's meaningful. Right, so if we think about the idea of purpose, purpose is just why you're doing something. But not all purposes are equally meaningful. So for instance, if I have a couple years ago, oh wow, it was like 5 years ago now. 5 years ago, I was working three jobs, three different churches. I was helping in three different ways because I needed to make money to pay for my son to have some treatments to address some learning disabilities. And I remember I would drive for an hour and a half every Sunday night. It was Saturday night service. We'd had a Sunday morning at a different church. We had a couple hours in the afternoon. And then I'd drive over an hour and a half one way to another church to help them out and come back. And I remember on those drives, there were times when I was frustrated at all this extra work. But I remembered then that there was a bigger purpose. It was for my son. And that was meaningful to me. If I was doing all that extra work just to get an extra $1,000 a month, you know, to subscribe to HBO or something, I don't know if that would be meaningful. It would be a purpose, but I don't know if it would be as meaningful. So when people want to have a meaningful purpose for their life, one of the things I do is help them walk through three specific breakthroughs. And when they make these three specific breakthroughs, it unlocks their ability to find a purpose that's truly meaningful for them.
Okay. That's great. So when you're talking about finding your purpose, does that mean your mission and the reason why?
Sure.
You do what you want to do.
That's also a great question. And I've discovered a lot of times people use the phrase purpose and mission interchangeably. And what I've found is that there is a distinction that's really helpful when we look at it this way. If you think about it, if you think about purpose as the overarching why that motivates you, that's why you do it. If you think about mission as the specific what that you do to accomplish that purpose, that's a really helpful distinction. Purpose is your why, mission is your what. And here's what's been helpful for me too, is figuring out that purpose, for the most part, once you find that meaningful purpose in your life and in your work, it generally doesn't change a lot over time. So for instance, my purpose is to inspire and empower as many people as possible to build a better world. So that's the why that motivates people. But if you break that down, okay, well, inspire and empower. Well, how? How am I going to inspire? How am I going to empower, right? And so the mission is the specific steps that I can take to fulfill that. So for me, it's to offer coaching, consulting, and content that helps people level up their life and business to meaningful purpose, healthier growth, and happier relationships. And so that's a specific action. Now that can change over time. The mission can change, just like in a military campaign. The purpose is always win the war, but the mission will change based on the circumstances. And so when people get that purpose, then they have the freedom and the clarity to be able to choose the mission that fits the circumstance the best for them.
So how does one like yourself typically start working with clients and helping them through this process that you take them on to get them to where they want to be? So for a start off, let's talk about who's your ideal person in terms of where they're at in their situation and where do you want them to take them?
Right. Man, you have such good questions. You're really good at this. So for me, what I've discovered is at this season in my life and for this particular mission, my ideal client is someone who has reached a certain level of financial success, either an entrepreneur, a business owner, or a career professional, who they're not worried about how they're going to pay their rent. They're not lost in how to figure out how to start a business. I actually have a separate thing outside of purpose finding. I do business consulting for people who want to start a purpose-driven, high-profit business they love. So that's over there. But for specifically for helping people find purpose, I found it helpful when someone has that security taken care of, they're not worried about, well, I got to feed my family. That's when they're able to have the bandwidth to consider some of those deeper questions about why am I here and where am I going and what am I doing? You're probably familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. There's different views on whether that's actually applicable or not, but it certainly is a helpful tool. And if you think about it, that baseline security really is something you need in order to get to that next level of thinking deeper. So I work with people typically who already hit that point and are kind of looking around and saying, is this it? I'm making money, I'm making sales, I'm growing the company, I'm climbing the corporate ladder, but it's just not fulfilling anymore. Is this all there is? And so what I get to do then is we have an interview, you know, we usually chat on the phone or on Zoom, ask them some questions, kind of figure out where they want to go. And if it looks like we're a good fit to work together, then I have a program called Purpose Finder. It's part of a larger program too called the True Success Workshop, where we talk about purpose, sustainable growth, and healthy relationships. And we start working together, video coaching sessions, and then live coaching, personal interaction, and handouts, kind of typical combination of an online course and a personal coaching relationship. And so we work together typically for about 8 weeks, helping them find that meaningful purpose, helping them figure out sustainable growth habits, because you don't want to go back where you came from. If where you got was by hustling and only caring about short-term wins, it's great that you find a meaningful purpose, but your habits are going to send you back to just caring about money again. And I always like to tell people, I'm a fan of money. It's a great tool. It's a good means. It's not a great end, if you know what I mean, the means versus the ends. And then we help people really strengthen their relationships so that they can pursue that purpose wholeheartedly. So that's kind of the big view of how I work with people and what we do together.
Awesome. So what's the one big end result for your clients?
Joy.
Joy. I like that.
At the end of the day, happiness is a temporary feeling of good based on your current circumstances. What I've discovered is a feeling of joy is the feeling that your life matters, that there's a reason for you being here, that good is on the way, and that even though things are hard right now, it's all going to be okay in the end. And that's not something that comes automatically. It's something that we work for. But when we are on that path, I like to say purpose isn't a destination. It's a facet of the journey, or it's a direction. But it produces joy and freedom and meaning and fulfillment and all those other things. Stress levels go down. I've seen people have, you know, health improvements in some great ways as their constant worry about why am I here goes away. I've seen relationships improve in dramatic ways because they find that purpose and that lowers the temperature. But above all, it produces joy.
That's amazing, man. That's absolutely amazing. So you have an ebook. Let's talk about this ebook that you have, which sure. If people do want to go get it and listen in on the podcast, are you watching now or later on down the line on the replay, it's you visit michaelellisonline.com/go/Philip. That redirects you to his ebook where you can opt in and receive ebook. So just once again, that's michaelellisonline.com/go/Philip. Philip with two L's instead of one. And it's good. In the show notes and in the description below too. So there's no excuses, guys. You can head over there and go get his ebook for free. It's not a paid thing. It's a free thing.
That's right.
All you have to do is opt in. So do you want to just quickly tell us what they can expect from that ebook?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very generous of you to call it an ebook. I don't know. I call it a handout, but that's because I'm verbose. So it's really just a couple pages. And I call it three major breakthroughs to unlock your bigger purpose. And I mentioned earlier, Michael, that there's three specific breakthroughs that I work with people to help them kind of come to. And so I put those in the ebook, handout, guide, quick stuff. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. I know, right? But it's just two pages, so it's not massive. But these are really the three things. Can I just share with the headlines real quick so people can know?
Yeah.
The first one is the perspective breakthrough. And that's asking the question, what's the point? What is meaningful purpose anyway? And how do you know the difference between a purpose that is meaningful and one that isn't? And so that's on there. The second one is the people breakthrough. Again, asking what does a meaningful purpose look like? I can just tell you the perspective breakthrough is coming to this understanding that a meaningful purpose must be bigger than me. There's nothing wrong with doing things for yourself, but the people that I've met that are the happiest, that have the most hope, that have the most joy, that live the most meaningful lives, realize that their life is about something bigger than them, meaningful purpose must be bigger than me. And so I like to use the example of a two-way glass, where if you've ever seen a cop show, or perhaps you've been in an interrogation room, you know that there's a room and there's mirrored glass. And all you see is the reflection of yourself, but you can see through the glass. And so many times we get locked into patterns. And I would argue our culture globally tends to emphasize it's all about you. And it's as if we're in a room with mirrored glass everywhere. But imagine what would happen if you could take that glass and flip it. So now you can see outside of the room to a much wider world that you get to be a part of if you choose to. So meaningful purpose must be bigger than you. So we talk about helping people make the shift to turn the mirrors into windows, and they enlarge their world. The people breakthrough is just realizing a meaningful purpose must make life better for people. I'm a very strong proponent that people matter. And I'm a big fan of saving the environment and being kind to animals and conserving natural resources and exploring space. I think all of that is good. I would argue that the most meaningful purpose in any of those fields or others is when you dial it down to how will this affect people, my children, future generations, our societies, right? And other people would say that differently, and I respect that. There are different, you know, points of view on purpose. This is the one that's helped me help a lot of people really get great results. So meaningful purpose must be bigger than me. Meaningful purpose must make life better for people. And I talk about helping people turn issues into individuals. It's great that you want to end world hunger. I have a client of mine who's a self-made millionaire who wants to end childhood hunger. That's fantastic. I always want to encourage people to turn issues into individuals and start going and finding stories of real people with names and faces who live in real places. Learn their stories, because Joseph Stalin is quoted famously as saying, one death is a tragedy, a million deaths is a statistic. Well, the reverse is true too. Helping a million people is a statistic, but helping one person personally can literally change your life. So it's about people. And then the third thing is the passion breakthrough, that a meaningful purpose must make me feel more alive. I don't believe in doing stuff because you're obligated, just because you're obligated. Not saying that if you have obligations, you shouldn't keep them if you don't feel like it. Not what I'm saying. But if you're looking for a life purpose, it can't be out of guilt or obligation. It needs to be something that wells up within you, that when you do it, when you pursue that purpose, it makes you come alive. And you can tell that I dig this. This is part of my purpose. It makes me come alive. And so a meaningful purpose must make me feel more alive. And we talk about helping people turn duty into delight. So those are those three breakthroughs: the perspective breakthrough, the people breakthrough, and the passion breakthrough. Those are in the Quick Start Guide, the ebook. Love for people to download that and be encouraged and have a set of lenses to look through on their journey.
And just again, guys, that's michaelellisonline.com/go/Philip. That'll head you straight over to Philip's landing page where you can download that Quick Start Guide, ebook, whatever you want to call it. For the three biggest breakthroughs. So now we've got that out of the way. Let's just quickly talk about how your business consultant world. So you kind of like pushed that to the side early and said, I do business consulting too. And this is finding your purpose is sort of like your baby in your aspects. It's the one that's giving you your purpose, your mission, your drive to do with all the ones that you do. But what do you do with business consulting?
Sure. Well, thanks. I am a big believer that business, and specifically entrepreneurial business, people who have an idea and a passion and the drive to carry it out, can change the world for good in ways far beyond just giving jobs to people. Giving jobs to people is great, providing value in the market, but I believe business can be a force for good. And so I love getting to work with businesses, really to help them in four areas. And they're all alliterated. That's kind of that leftover skill set from being a pastor. Everything's got an acronym or an alliteration, and now my brain thinks that way. I can't shut it off, right? So I help companies and businesses and entrepreneurs, I help them prioritize their purpose for their company. A fascinating study I found from Interbrand, which is a global brand awareness firm. In 2018, their global brand study revealed that companies that were driven by purpose as opposed to just profit, actually grew at a rate of 15.2% annually over a five-year period, as opposed to 3% annually over that same five-year period. That's a 12% increase in just in overall business growth and sales just because they were driven by purpose. I think it's a pretty neat thing. Not only that, but in this era, you see it on the news, you see so many people are waking up to this reality that there are real injustices and problems in our world. And the people that are willing to step forward and say, I want to use my business as a tool to help build a better world, I think those are the businesses that are not only going to feel better about what they're doing, not only are going to have better employee retention and better customer engagement, but I think they're going to sell better too, because people want to do business with those that they perceive as good people. And purpose and prioritizing your purpose is one way to do that. So that's how we help businesses with that. The second thing is we do, we help them build their brand. And Jeff Bezos is quoted as saying, your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. And I love that. So we help companies design a story and share it with the people who need to hear it about who they are as a company, what they stand for, and how they stand out. It's way more than logos and colors and fonts. It's about knowing your identity as a company, as an entrepreneur, as a business, and being able to communicate that in ways that are authentic to you and attractive to your target audience. So we help them prioritize their purpose, build their brand. We help them master their marketing. And you know this from being in, and I think you help people in many ways, some similar things with marketing. You know how important it is to get the right message to the right person in the right way at the right time. And those are four things that, just like building a tower out of Legos. I don't know if you ever did. You ever build Legos as a kid?
Yeah, I used to love Legos. Legos were awesome. I loved it.
I love Legos. My daughter is four, and we just got her first set of Legos, the big old Duplo. Well, you know, if you're building a tower of Legos, you can build it in a way that's not lined up well, but it's not going to last for very long. But if you align those four things in order, get your purpose in line, get your brand in line, get your marketing in line, and then you add the fourth one, which is supercharge your sales. I learned a lot from that millionaire mentor. He made his fortune helping people learn how to sell products in carts at shopping malls. Have you ever been to a shopping mall and there's a cart in the middle and they're offering you stuff? Ever been to that?
Yeah, we don't have it that much over here in the UK, really? But yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, any place you've ever been where there's someone who is trying to get your attention and sell you something, he taught people how to do that really well, and he made millions. So I learned a lot about sales, but we help people systemize and scale and train so they can sell really well, overcome mindset issues. Some people are afraid of selling. We help them overcome that. That's the four things we do. Prioritize your purpose, build your brand, master your marketing, and supercharge your sales. And when that all works together, we call that total purpose alignment. And when total purpose alignment kicks in, it's game over, in a good way.
I like that. Total purpose alignment. I like how you brought that into it. That's great. That's awesome. So who are your typical clients in that area of your focus? And take it, they're usually people that are businesses that are startups, or they're on that path getting ready to scale their operations up. Am I
absolutely correct? You're spot on. There have been some times when I have worked with more established businesses that are already, you know, in fact, one of the first I ever worked with was a very well-established architectural visualization firm, six-figure firm. The owner came to me and point blank asked, can you help me find the deeper purpose in my work? That was kind of what started all this, as a matter of fact. And so we helped them a lot with their branding and marketing as well. But primarily, you're exactly right. When I get to work with people, it's usually at the beginning phase when they have a dream in their heart, they have a change they want to make in the world. So for instance, Margarita. She is a language teacher extraordinaire. She loves teaching second languages to help connect people, to build bridges across cultures. But she figured out that she's got a lot of skills that she could help use to teach other language teachers how to teach better. So instead of her dealing with just a few students, she can empower a ton of other teachers to do what they do better. And so she came to me and said, I want to do this, but I have no idea how to build an online business and how to do this. So we work with her. Or there's Amanda, who is, she left a successful six-figure corporate career to start her own landscape architecture firm, which is her passion. And so we've been working with her. So typically when people have that idea in their heart and they maybe know some things, but they don't know how to fit it all together, that's when I come and help them kickstart it. Start and scale. Here's the pitch. Start and scale a high profit business you love that makes a purpose-driven impact in the world.
So, and that, guys and girls, is what you call an elevator pitch.
Long elevator.
But that is that's a really good elevator pitch. Elevator pitch. Most people's elevator pitches really do not actively, or they don't align with what they actually wanting to say usually. Yeah. Now I can tell you've put some a little bit of effort into that, and
thank you. Well, and that's actually
a sense of meaning behind it.
And you're exactly right, Michael. A lot of effort went into it, and that's actually one of the things we help people with is honing that elevator pitch. So that's why we have a purpose statement workshop. That's why we do the mission statement workshop. That's why we do the brand building stuff. It's to help people be able to do that themselves, so that they. And of course, you know, again, you asked the question way earlier about being a pastor. There's that skill set again, crafting that language in a way that connects. It's been a helpful thing to do. So I love helping people come up with that for themselves.
So behind you, you've got a lot of books.
I do.
A lot of books. Is there any books you would highly recommend as a must read?
Oh, heck yeah. I'll tell you what, probably the number one.
Of course, apart from the Bible.
Right. Hey, I always encourage people, man, if you know, whether you believe in God or not, the Bible is just a fascinating read to understand that it has shaped Western culture more than any other book. So this is a huge one I recommend to people. Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. He was a plastic surgeon, and he began to notice some amazing results that had nothing to do, he thought, with the plastic surgery he did. He began to notice people changing their life when they changed their face. And he started to research this, and he found out some fascinating things from a medical perspective about the power of our subconscious and how what we believe about ourselves has a profound effect on our ability to level up in every area of life. In fact, so much so, so I learned this from another couple of mentors of mine who are also millionaires, the power of a daily habit of visualization and repetition is unparalleled. In fact, I put that in a free training too called the Daily Mindset Map, 3 Pillars of a $1 Million Mindset. If people are interested, I can send them a link to that. Psycho-Cybernetics, amazing book to teach you how to train your brain to start accomplishing your goals effortlessly. That's the biggest one.
For the guys that are listening at home and for the people that have tuned into the past episodes as well, you will obviously know that that's the second time that book has been recommended.
Ooh.
In just a short space of time. So that surely must mean that it's a highly recommended book to read. It's something that I'm going to go out and buy myself. I'm going to read myself because I haven't read it yet myself.
It's really good. I could say one more if you don't mind. One more that's really good. There's so many. I could literally spend 20 minutes just giving you my take. But anyone who is involved in business of any kind, you need to have some degree of connection with marketing. You need to market in some way, right? This book is fantastic. It's called This Is Marketing by Seth Godin. It is a really great way to get into a different mindset about the marketing and the work we do. Seth Godin is a huge fan of this idea of changing the culture, making things better. So very much in alignment with what I believe and what I stand for. He just writes really, really well. Short chapters, but if you really want a crash course in thinking about business and marketing in a different, in a more purpose-driven way, I highly recommend This Is Marketing. So, by Seth Godin.
Yeah. I think I've got the audio book to that, and I think I've listened to it. To be honest, I can't remember it. Maybe I should need to re-listen to that book as well. This Is Marketing by Seth Godin. You kind of summed that up in a way that I've not heard it summed it up before, so, which makes it a more of a must-read for me than anything else. I'm a reader of his blog.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's got a great blog.
He has got a great blog, which is, by the way, if you guys don't know at home, it's Seth's blog, Seth's.blog, and that's it, which is amazing. That just the marketing power of that alone is just amazing. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go check that out, go check it out. His website's a little bit hard to use. It's not very user-friendly. But all his recent stuff that he puts down is very easy to find and very easy to come across, which is what he's designed for. It's not designed for going back through his back catalogue as such. It's more designed just for you to be able to go there and find his latest things that he's writing about. So, yeah, I'm a reader of his blog. And yeah, I admire the guy, massively admire the guy. The way he talks about stuff and the way he puts his point across is, it's like no one else that I've really read or got into, which is refreshing. So if you're not a book reader, if you're not an avid book reader, then I recommend going to his blog instead.
They're short entries.
They are short entries. They're very short entries.
That's what's so magical to me. I'm just like, how, you just communicate so much in so little. Wow.
Yeah, which is what's great about it. Because his blog's the same in terms of small blogs. They're not overly large. Yet he, like I say, packs so much in into these small little sections. And that's what's great about it, because if you don't have that much time to read, or if you don't have that much time on your hands, but you want him to just gain some a little bit of insight, then it's quick and easy to digest, and it's not hard to digest either, which is amazing. Like, I go to some blogs and they're like 5,000, 6,000 words long. It's going to take me a little while to read through it, especially on a computer screen. I don't like reading off a computer screen. I prefer reading a book.
Right.
And it's just annoying. But with Seth's blogs,
yeah,
they're usually small and they're easy to read and stuff like that. So it's been great having you on the show today. And just to remind everybody, if you want the quick start guide for finding your purpose with free breakthroughs, visit michaelellisonline.com/go/Philip with two L's, not one L. And we've successfully managed the show without much interruptions.
I love it.
Yeah.
So cool.
So don't forget, if you like the content on this channel, subscribe, smash that like button, leave a comment down below. It really does help the channel out. It really does help the algorithm, especially for such a small channel that I am at this moment in time. And if you can, just leave your biggest takeaway in the comments below from this. There's been some real golden nuggets in this episode. So there should be technically multiple biggest takeaways from this show. And like I said, it's been a pleasure having you on, Philip.
Thank you so much,
just
Michael.
One last question, though. If there's something that I should have asked you but haven't asked you, what would that question be, and what's the answer?
What's my favorite drink?
What's your favorite drink?
Coffee.
That's brilliant. That's fantastic.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, Michael.
And the pleasure's all mine. So thank you guys at home for watching. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for watching the replay. And thank you for listening on the podcast. Jesus, my audience goes out to many places. So we'll obviously see you on the next one.